speaking of all of that, earlier this week, we sat down with the head of the United Negro College Fund, Dr. Michael Lomax, and talked with him about a wide range of issues that are affecting African Americans and higher education and HBCUs and others. Here's that conversation.
It is always good when we are here in Indianapolis and we have the opportunity to talk to the head of UNCF. I'm still old-fashioned. I still want to call it the United Negro College Fund, but I got to get with the 21st century. It is UNCF. Dr. Michael Lomax, it's good to see you.
And, you know, it's actually good to see you as opposed to doing this over the phone. I'm glad to be here. I don't want to do this over the phone anymore. Let's just do this in person.
Absolutely. Now, you're in town talking to folks about, you know, how do we improve education, not just at the higher education level, but at the K through 12 level for African Americans. But I first got to start with the day job, with college. And what is the threat to more African Americans attending and graduating college with these rising tuition, the rising rate of student loans, this whole problem of the parent loans and the federal government trying to put the hammer on them? And I know some of our HBCUs were hard hit by that.
Yeah. So I would say that the big problem for the young people and not so young people who are getting to college is that they don't have the financial wherewithal to stay in college and to complete. Mm-hmm. And so I would say at college, a big barrier is a financial barrier. And, you know, it's not just that tuition could be too high, but for many of these folks, it's not just that they can't pay tuition, they can't pay for life and go to college at the same time any longer. So many of the folks who now see the importance of going to college are from low to moderate income families, first in their family to go to college, and they're taking time away from work and employment and paying bills at home for mom and brother and sister and family, or husband and wife, and trying to get an education. So I would say that there's a big financial barrier. It continues to exist. And, you know, make another point about that. You know, a large percentage of the people who are in college today are 18-year-olds who graduated from high school and are going to college. But they are not the majority anymore. They are the minority. The majority of people are adults. Right. Who are in and out of the education system trying to get more credentials, more degrees to be competitive in the workforce, and they're also trying to hold down a job. And so this financial barrier, Amos, is a big one, and if we're going to get more Americans, more African Americans, with college degrees, we're going to have to figure out how to remove the financial barrier.
I know UNCF concentrates on the not-for-profit higher education world, but when we realistically look at African Americans, you look at the statistics, a third of African American adults over the age of 25 have had some college. That includes the for-profits, the proprietary schools. Do we need, as a matter of educational policy, to start cracking down on the proprietary schools, the for-profits, not to crack down on them, to make sure, hey, we're emphasizing educational quality with the not-for-profits. Y'all got to get with the program.
Well, we all got to play by rules. Mm-hmm. And I want the rules to be fair. I want them to apply to everyone. And I want to be understand if these rules are in place, what's going to be the impact? Right. So one of them is, why are you charging this amount for this credit hour or for this degree? So, I mean, there's got to be, fairness in the pricing. And just on the issue of HBCUs, historically black colleges are about a third the price of the equivalent institutions elsewhere. Mm. Proprietaries tend to be very expensive. They tend to get the maximum they can out of the financial aid. And unfortunately, students don't graduate. And, you know, it's one thing to pay for an education and get a degree. It's another thing to be paying for an education that you never got a degree on.
UNCF has been very outspoken about poor high school preparation of African American students. And to me, that's in two realms. One is the preparation in the classroom. The other is the guidance preparation. Do you agree that guidance preparation is just as important as the classroom preparation?
Well, I would say they go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, I want to say to your listeners, and to our community, what happens in that classroom with our young people is going to define how their lives are going to be spent in the future.
Mm-hmm.
The world of work is getting more competitive. The skill requirements are getting higher. The basic minimum that you got to have to be able to continue to learn to upgrade your skills means math, means reading well, means communicating effectively, right, means working in groups. So I would say to all the parents and all the young people out there who listen, what happens in that classroom, critically important. We've got to pay more attention to it. We've got to own what happens there. And so I really am so glad you're focusing on that element of it. You asked another question, right, which I've now forgotten, and you're going to give it to me.
Yeah, it was also guidance.
And that's the other piece of it. Now, yeah, you know, we're paying all this attention. Do we have the right teachers? How do we hold teachers accountable? Well, one of the things we ought to be one of the elements of the infrastructure which is not in place in most of our schools is we don't have guidance counselors.
Right.
We don't have people who are saying directly to that young person, directly to that young person's family, if the aspiration is to have this career,
right,
these are the courses you got to take, and these are the right kinds of credentialing programs or community college programs or four-year college programs that are going to get you that degree. And here, and given your family income, this is what you can afford.
Mm-hmm.
Most, I think the for most public high schools, the guidance counselor to student ratio is something like one counselor for every 400 or 500 students.
Mm.
It's, you know, which means you're not getting good counseling.
One of the changes that has occurred in education is the use of technology. Not just they got the iPad, mm-hmm, and the Google stuff and the Surfaces and all that kind of stuff, but it is this instant knowing how a student is doing, mm-hmm, in school. I didn't realize it until my granddaughter was in the middle of high school, and the high school went to this electronic grading system where you literally could go in and see how you're doing from quiz to quiz, test to test. Yeah. And she took that as a personal challenge to go in to see how she was doing, to see her points, mm-hmm, would get frustrated if the grade wasn't what she felt it ought to be, and took that ownership. And then that got us to looking at it, and I think nearly all the schools here in the Indianapolis area have that electronic stuff, but parents and grandparents, we're still under the education part of, well, we don't see grades till every 6, 7, 8, or
yeah,
10 weeks. How important is it for organizations like UNCF and others to let parents understand education today? You can know instantly how your kid is doing in school on literally a daily
basis.
And
if you wait for the letter grade to come out,
mm-hmm,
it could be too late. That young person could be so far behind that won't be able to catch up. The analytics around the data are so good now,
mm-hmm,
and the use of technology is so sophisticated. It's not just how is your daughter, granddaughter doing, right, on a test. It's how many worksheets has she filled out? How engaged is she? They can begin to predict,
mm-hmm,
performance based on the amount of time she spends on that, using that technology to do the work assignments.
Right.
So I think that it's getting the requirements to be an engaged adult in the life of the learner,
right,
means more than just waiting, you know, putting on making sure they got a packed lunchbox on the way to school, and that they come home and do their homework. You've got to really be more engaged in that. And I think there's real great opportunities for parents and adults to be more engaged and to know and to give better guidance to their kids.
We're talking with Dr. Michael Lomax, the head of UNCF. That's United Negro College Fund for all us old school folks. Our mutual good friend, Mark Morial, the head of the National Urban League, is doing a campaign educating the African American community on the importance of Common Core. Now, here in Indiana, we're a little different. We have Indiana's College and Career Ready Standards, aka,
yeah,
Common Core 2.0, Common Core Light, or whatever. From your perspective, UNCF, why is Common Core important?
Well, rigorous academics,
okay,
are important. Whether it's Common Core or if you're doing providing rigorous academics for all students and calling it something different in Indiana, then I'm going to say that's the right thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
We want our kids to learn the information, the skills, the capabilities that are going to be information, skills, and capabilities that they've got to have for a lifetime right. of citizenship and employment and continuing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we got into this Common Core business and we established Common Core standards for English language arts and math, which you would just assume couldn't be too controversial. There's only, you know, there are not a lot of different kinds of math.
Right.
There's not a lot of different kinds of English language arts. But because, and let's just be honest with this, because right. Barack Obama's president and his Department of Education said that was a good thing, there were states around this country that said, if Barack Obama says it's good, it must be bad. We got to call it something different. We've got to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to work our way around and through the politics, but I want to make sure that kids in Indiana and in Georgia and elsewhere are getting the preparation that they require to be competitive at grade level throughout their elementary, middle, and high school. So that means that by third grade, they're reading at a certain level, that by middle school, they're getting introduced to pre-algebra. You know, you and I, when we were going to school, there were some kids who got put in the college track, and then there were some kids who got put in the general track, and the kids who got put in the general track, they didn't wind up having the same kind of educational and employment opportunities. We can't put our kids in the employment, because black kids always get put in the general track. We want our kids to be in the academic track, which means they're getting the math, they're getting the English language arts, they're getting the science, they're getting the reading skills that they need at every level to be competitive in the 21st century.
As states transfer to these more rigorous standards, and we're in the process of rigorous standards now in this school year, and they're going to rechange our, what we call an I-STEP test out here this spring. Every state that's done that, everybody's grades have dropped. White, black, green, or what have you. Do colleges understand that? So as we go through this transition and those eighth graders or those ninth graders, high school, 10th graders go through that transition, colleges understand that if they're looking at somebody's transcript and test scores and they say, well, you were doing great and then the bottom just fell out.
Well, absolutely they understand that. I mean, we see the context. But what we also see, Amos, we see their SAT scores and we see their ACT scores.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing on the ACT scores, for example, for African American kids, there are four areas that they get their scores in. There's language arts, there's reading, there's math and science. And to be deemed college ready by the ACT, you have to score high enough, and that's over 20, I think, generally, in all four areas, so that you have a 75% chance of earning a C in a four-credit course in college or a 50% chance of earning a B. Do you know what percentage of African-American high school graduates are deemed college-ready in all four areas in this country today?
10-15%.
Five. Now, of all test takers, it's 25. I don't consider that very high.
Right.
But our kids are farther behind. And for that reason, 45% of all African-American kids who make it to college are in non-credit-bearing remedial courses during their freshman year.
Let me ask about the financial health of HBCUs. Obviously, people saw all the stories about Grambling. While that's not a UNCF school, that's still an HBCU. They've read the online stories, and whether it is the Griot, the Root, some of the national publications about the situation at Howard University in Washington. What is the financial health of UNCF schools in particular, HBCUs in general, from where you sit?
Well, I would say that it's not one size fits all. I mean, we've got some institutions of I used to teach at Spelman College. They just their president Beverly Tatum has just announced that she'll retire in May. They've just completed another $200 million capital campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Health very good at Spelman College. Howard University, where my daughter is a junior, she's not at a UNCF institution, but she's at a very fine public HBCU.
Mm-hmm.
Howard's got a big hospital. It's right. It's a drain on them financially, and they're making some changes. But I want to tell you, my daughter's getting a very good education at Howard University. So I would say that right now, the financing model for many higher ed institutions in this country is one that needs to be not more than tweaked. It really needs to be re-engineered. But you can still get a fine education at historically black colleges in this country. And we've got 37 of them that UNCF is raising money for every day in Indianapolis and all across this country. And we're providing scholarships and direct support to those institutions. They are in crisis,
right,
but we're a community that has had crises before, and we're going to make sure that those institutions have the resources to deliver the goods to your kids every day.
With Dr. Michael Lomax, the head of UNCF, and I go back in the day when one of the greatest grassroots efforts that UNCF ever came up with was the partnership with Anheuser-Busch, the Lou Rawls Parade of Stars, mm-hmm. which in a lot of communities like Indianapolis was a big grassroots thing where people would come to the television station. We did it here in the mm-hmm. Madam Walker Theater, where people would come. You know, big corporations would come with their checks. The fraternities and sororities would come with their checks. The politicians would come with their check. We always check to make sure the check would clear.
Yeah.
And then occasionally, as the telethon got closer to the end, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, you know, we would start to see ordinary grassroots people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they would pull out a roll of bills because they wanted to make a donation to UNCF. And occasionally I would see people that I knew were maybe street entrepreneurs or maybe independent pharmaceutical or experts in numerology.
Yes, yes, yes.
But
I hear
they
you.
Were coming because yeah. they knew what UNCF was all about, yeah. and they understood the importance of education. Some of our listeners have been concerned, and you're aware of this. You guys get contributions from all kinds of people from all walks of life. And there's been concern about contributions received from the Koch brothers. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give you the opportunity to address that.
Well, UNCF in the fiscal year that ended March 31st of this year mm-hmm. raised $81 million, mm-hmm. over 100,000 donors. And among those donors, the Koch brothers, they made a $25 million gift, and thank you very much. It's going to help scholarships for students. UNCF has had a broad base of supporters for 70 years. Mm-hmm. We have them at every point along the political spectrum, and guess what? We believe all Americans should support our cause regardless of their politics, and because our cause is a national cause. Mm-hmm. Now, with regard to our television show, mm-hmm. we are going back to our roots. Now we're going to go back to our roots in a 21st century way.
Yeah.
So that when we tape that show, mm-hmm. In April of next year, right. You're going to see a much more robust text to donate. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a much more robust phone in okay. to make a contribution. You're going to see a much more robust go to the website. Mm-hmm. We believe that call to action right. needs to be made again. As I said, we raised $81 million. Our goal is to raise $100 million a year. Right. And in order to do that, we're going to need to use all of our vehicles, including our television show, which is now An Evening of Stars, as a way. And we're going to have more super viewing parties. We may be having one of the Madam C.J. Walker again.
The return of the super viewing party.
And let me just tell you, if some of those folks who are engaged in all forms of entrepreneurship in our community want to come forward and make a contribution, gratefully accepted.
Was there a lot of pushback from loyal UNCF donors in the community because of the politics of the Koch brothers? It had nothing to do with education or higher education or African Americans. You know, it was the people's love of the president and very defensive over people that have been very negative toward the president.
Well, look, two things. Mm-hmm. This is a donor which you could disagree with, I could disagree with politically. We don't agree on a number of things. They've been supporting UNCF for a decade.
For a decade.
So they've been giving, and they've just...
Before anybody knew who the Koch brothers were.
Before they've been giving for a decade.
Okay.
And we've asked all of our donors to step up because there's a crisis. They have stepped up. What I think, and I have had both public discussions about the gift and private discussions, and what I have said is, we are the same UNCF we have been for 70 years. We do two things. Mm-hmm. We support our historically black colleges, and this $25 million gift includes $2 million in unrestricted giving annually for the next 2 years to our member institutions, much needed and much appreciated, and scholarships to our students of $2,500 a semester. Mm-hmm. So that's very important. $18 million of that is just going to be scholarship support alone. And then the second thing that I've said to our donors is, it's an opportunity for others to step up and give as well.
Right.
So, you know, we're the same UNCF. We don't subscribe to a political philosophy. We subscribe to an educational mission, and that is help our historically black colleges and support our students who need the resources to stay in and complete college.
Here in Indiana, we've got this push to, you know, improve the quality of our preschools and provide some subsidy for low-income families. Is there a danger when you focus too much resources on preschool that you tend to overlook, you know, putting resources in the elementary, the middle, and the high school?
You know, we need investments at every level of education. I'm no longer got little kids of my own in elementary school, but I've got grandchildren in preschool, and I know what that stimulation means. I know what it means to learn how to play mm-hmm. in a structured setting and learn how to socialize, because one of the issues that so many of our kids have, if they don't have that pre-K opportunity, is they don't know how to operate and navigate through a school. So I think that's so important for us to do. I'm so glad to see that it's on the agenda in Indiana. I'd sure like to see it move from being on the agenda to being implemented.
Well, we got a test in five counties.
Okay.
Allen, Lake, Marion, one small rural county, Vandenberg County down in the Evansville area.
Yeah.
So there's five counties to be tested where the state of Indiana will make investments,
right.
With state tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get the governor to, you know, go get some of that federal money, but he's a little persnickety sometimes.
Well, but we don't turn back $80 million in federal funding, do we?
He did, but that's people are still.
You're going to pray over that.
Yeah, there's serious prayer going on. Obviously, the website is uncf.org. Find out all kinds of things about educational opportunities at UNCF schools, scholarship opportunities for students at a variety of colleges. The WellPoint initiative that you all are doing.
Absolutely. So I've got Andrea Neely here, who can tell you more about that. Come on up here, Andrea. Just tell them about WellPoint. Come on.
Oh, well, thank you. We're excited to, launch the $270,000 investment from WellPoint. It is a internship and scholarship program
right.
for juniors and seniors in college that would then work with WellPoint, get the experience, return to college in the fall, receive a much-needed scholarship of $5,000 to reduce their debt. And at the end of the program, the goal is that they would be placed into employment with WellPoint.
When can they apply for this scholarship?
He's learning well.
Yes, really good lead.
Yes, when can they apply?
This will be made right now. They will be actually being recruited. So we will have recruiters that will begin recruiting November and December, identifying potential students at our various colleges and universities, and then awarding those internships in the spring. And then, of course, starting the program in the summer.
All right. Andrea Neely, always good to see you. Dr. Michael Lomax in the studio.
Hey, I love it. And I'm going to do this once a year.
Yeah. You got to do that.
Okay. You're looking good. You're looking younger.
Oh, flattery. He's trying to get a donation. Flattery will
get you everywhere.
Flattery will get you everywhere. Dr. Michael Lomax, President and CEO of UNCF, a.k.a. the United Negro College Fund. Happy holidays to you and everybody. Thanks very much for being with us. A lot more after these.